Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. We got more good news on prosperity. Pastor George, the prosperity preacher, is back. And we are on day what? Day one?
Well, we are on day, on all of our broadcasts that we've done together, 193. We're headed for 200 broadcast. Prosperity. We took up the subject of prosperity many years ago. I told you way back when, on one of the early broadcasts, I said, Gloria, you just can't exhaust the subject of prosperity. And you said to me, let's try.
So that's what we're doing. Okay.
That's what we're doing.
It's been awesome.
So all of these broadcasts, as
this
a matter of fact,
193,
and all of them are available. Every broadcast that we have done are available on kcm.org. Isn't that amazing?
It is. And George, that was so good of you to give everybody the outlines and so on. I'd like to hear from some of the people, the preachers, and teachers that use those outlines, and how it blessed the people and what results they got.
Prosperity reports, that's what we need to hear.
Prosperity reports, let's call it that.
What the Lord is doing for them.
Yeah. Wouldn't that encourage you?
Oh, it would be an encouragement. Just do that. Yeah, send them in.
Yes.
And all of these outlines are available to you on kcm.org. You can download them. So far, since Glory and I started this, we are up to 450,000 downloads of those outlines.
Is that a blessing or what?
And you know, they're still available. They're still, all of them are still available online. So you can get those.
450,000. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Praise God.
That's a lot of prosperity.
And we should have a whole lot of testimonies from people that didn't just get it, but they did it. So let's ask for that today.
That's right.
Send us your testimonies.
Send the testimonies. Let the testimonies come in.
Yes.
We want to hear.
Amen.
What we're talking about in these 2 weeks is we're talking about living a life of being truly rich. You know, the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich,
truly
and
rich.
He adds no sorrow to it. And there is a difference between the godly rich and the worldly rich.
Yeah, you know what it is? One word?
Tell me.
Peace.
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 That's true.
Yep.
That is true.
I just got there.
Good.
Peace.
That's hot off the press. Peace. There's a
Peace.
Difference. I mean, you can be rich and sleep at night.
That's right.
You can be rich and happy.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of rich people out there that are the most unhappy people in the world. And we need to learn how to be rich God's way.
That's right.
Rich is not a dirty word.
That's
it
right.
is a Bible word. And it is a word that is used in Scripture.
God made Abraham what?
He made him rich.
Yes, he did.
He made him rich. And so we're talking about this, and what we're doing is we are using 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to use this from this point out in the study that we're doing together. This is really, Gloria, like a wealth training seminar. It's to train us, how do we use our wealth? It's not money that is evil, it's the love of it, and it's who has it and what they're doing with it, and how they're treating people and how they're conducting themselves. Well, in the church that Timothy was pastoring, he was having difficulty with those who were rich in the church. He was having a hard time. And in the same way that as the pastor of Eagle Mountain, if I were having some kind of a problem, I'd call Kenneth on the phone or I'd go see him and say, look, we've got this issue that's going on here in the church. And I could just hear Kenneth. Really, our relationship is like a Timothy and Paul. Of course, he's the Paul, I'm the Timothy. And I picture Paul being a lot like, or Kenneth being a lot like Paul in his response to things. And I can just imagine Timothy talking to Paul about these rich people in the church. They're so arrogant. They're so high-minded. They're not giving anything. They're not doing anything in the realm of sowing. They're not tithing. And I could see Paul sit back as well as I could see Kenneth sit back and saying, George, you tell them.
Yeah.
You charge them. You command them.
Yeah.
And I can see myself with my pen writing down. That's exactly what Timothy did.
That's right.
And so this is what we're going to do. We are going to take the instructions that the Apostle Paul gave to the rich and break those down.
That'll be good.
And we're going to learn how to be truly rich, what it takes to do that. What mistakes do rich people make? What mistakes do believers make when they start understanding about prosperity and then all of a sudden they've got a little bit of money?
Yeah.
And you know, one of the first things to go is the tithe.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
No.
We have to learn and establish what we are going to do as wealthy people.
Here's why it's so vital that we do this and go on the Word in this subject. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, the Bible says that. We all know that it says that. That is saying just a whole chapter full when it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, if you and I, we are believers, and we don't want to tithe. If we were, we do tithe. Mm-hmm. But if we were believers, we don't want to tithe. We think we need the money more than God does. That is the root of all evil. See, what am I doing? I'm stopping up my wells. I'm cutting off my increase.
Wow, that's true.
I'm not paying any attention to what God says. The best thing you and I could do to prosper is to tithe.
Yep.
When Ken and I started tithing, we didn't have, we had almost nothing. I mean, we were just a little project rent house. We had early Goodwill furniture and an old car. But I'm telling you, we began to find out what to do, and we began to act on the Word.
Yeah.
And it you never quit increasing. And I mean, all the days of your life in the earth that you sow and you tithe, you'll keep increasing.
Yes.
Think, well, they've got enough now. God doesn't say, well, they've got enough now, so let's just let them alone. No, you keep increasing.
Keep increasing.
Glory to God.
Well, you know, as we're reading through this, I really picture...
And then you tithe more and you sow more.
Yes.
So it's a win-win thing.
Well, you know, you have grown and increased. I have grown. Terry and I have grown and increased over the years. And these are the things that we have to keep in mind, because we have to... We can't change who we are. For instance, the more money that people have, the more arrogant they become. I was talking to a young man at a hotel one time. He was the bellman. He was helping us with our stuff. Yeah. And I just got to talking to him, and he was a bellman at a very posh hotel for a while somewhere in Colorado, you know, where people would go and they'd have their time of skiing and vacations and so forth. But it was a really, really upper class, high, expensive hotel. And we got to talking about some of the people, and he said, it's amazing how arrogant rich people are. He said, I finally left there. And he said he came to the hotel that we were in, but the fact that people would make demands on him, and the tips were lousy. Here you've got these
multi-millionaires,
and their tips were hardly anything. And that is the worldly wealth. Now, if we don't watch out, that slips off or onto us in the godly wealth. I mean, that's not godly wealth, but you get somebody that gets some money, if we are not trained on how to use it.
That's the blessing of sowing and tithing. It'll help you not to go there.
That's right. We have to train our children.
You give God His first. You tithe your money.
You've
got to
do that.
And then you sow as He tells you to, and that keeps you free in that realm where you don't begin to hoard. You're not afraid. The blessing's working and you know it. Glory to God.
That's right.
So increase.
Increase. Well, one of the big problems that they had in the church there was, as it said here, charge them that are rich in this world. In other words, they had a lot.
That's a strong word.
Charge them. Yeah. Charge them. Command them. Tell them, teach them. You've got to teach them this. You've got to train this in. You've got to train them in this. You know, in the same way that what you have taught us, Terry and me, what you've taught Kelly, what you taught John, Marty,
our family ties.
We took that, and then we taught our children, and now our children are teaching their children. This has to be taught.
Have you noticed that our children, our grandchildren, don't have to start where we started?
They've already started on a much higher place.
They have homes already. What took us a long time.
Yeah.
Because they started off knowing the blessing.
That's right. That's right.
It took us a while to learn the blessing.
And we as believers, we need to know how to handle money.
That's right.
If we're going to be prosperous, we need to know how to handle money. We need to know how to act according to the Word of God. I'm thinking about another example of, When I was doing a lot of work up at ORU for a few years, there was a guy that I was working with, and his daughter was waitressing at a restaurant there. And amongst all of the waiters and waitresses, now this is an indictment, but we need to learn from it. The shift that none of them wanted was Sunday after church.
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible.
Because it was the worst time for tips, and people were arrogant towards them. That's wrong.
That's wrong.
And that's going to hold us back.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. You charge them that are rich in the world that they not be high-minded. Now, let's take a few minutes and talk about this, being high-minded. High-minded in the Greek there means to be arrogant, haughty, and prideful. Mm-hmm. Arrogant, in the Webster's Dictionary, it says disposed to exaggerate one's worth or importance by an overbearing manner.
Arrogant.
The Amplified Bible says, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others. And the Message says, tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money. So Paul here realized that one of the pitfalls of having wealth was the temptation to see oneself as being superior to others.
Yeah.
In other words, they weren't walking in love.
Yeah.
They were ordering these people around in the church. They were being arrogant. They were being high-minded. And Gloria, we just can't go there. We can't do that.
No.
True prosperity is walking in humility. True prosperity. We'll walk in humility. And humility is not putting yourself down. It's setting yourself aside to meet the needs of other people.
Let's go to the second page there.
I want to show you an example of this.
Okay.
When you're dealing with financial issues, we must stay in the love walk of God. Again, you get somebody that gets a little bit of money and they don't know how to handle it according to the Word of God, it'll take them off in the wrong direction. They'll begin to forget God and think that they're the ones that did it all.
But I don't know, George, if it's harder for the rich or the poor. The poor think, I've got this amount of money.
And they're going to,
If I tithe, if I sow my 10%, then what am I going to do for this or that or the other?
Right.
So it's really, when you get to think about it, I hadn't ever really thought about it before, when you get to think about it, it's just as tempting for the rich as it is for the poor.
For the poor, you're exactly right.
The rich say, well, this is so much. I mean, you know, I this is my tithe this month is so much. I might not want to
do all of that.
Yeah. So it's tempting on both sides.
Yeah.
But both sides are blessed when they do it.
That's right. Both sides are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to put it, Gloria. Both sides are blessed when they do
Protected, blessed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's, really, Paul's talking about conduct here. And on this second page, let me just run through this very quickly with you. This was the account. That one you've got.
This one, okay.
This is the rich man and Lazarus. And this is very interesting. You know, those of you that are pastors or teachers, you can take this and really expound on it.
Mm-hmm.
But look at this, and I'll just read it from this NIV translation. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen who lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now we find here with this rich man, he never, ever reached out to this beggar.
That's bad.
Never took him in. He's sitting there at his gate.
And eating with the dogs.
What'd you say? Eating with the dogs, yeah.
That's what he was doing.
That's what he was doing. And he most likely wanted him out of the way and was relieved when he died.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Now, this is interesting. He carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. You've got the poor man here who was carried to Abraham's side. You've got the rich man.
Well,
he was just buried.
True. I had never thought that.
He was just buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called up to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony
so
in this fire.
Still, he wants Abraham and Lazarus to help him.
He wants Abraham to tell Lazarus. Abraham, he's ordering people around. He's an arrogant guy.
Isn't he now?
He's arrogant. He's ordering Abraham. He's not even going to talk to the poor guy. He's not even going to talk to Lazarus. He's ordering him from hell. That's crazy.
Isn't that something?
He called him and said, so he said, cool my tongue. So the observation, the rich man began ordering Abraham to order Lazarus to go fetch some water. This is the attitude of the worldly rich.
Now, I hadn't thought about what you say there, what you said there in B. I never thought of that. Read it.
That the rich...
He would not even speak directly to Lazarus.
Yeah. He wouldn't speak directly.
He told Abraham what to do.
Yeah.
You tell Lazarus. He's still a rich man, he thinks. He thinks he's still in charge, but he's not.
That's the truth. He really does. He thinks he's in charge.
Mm-mm.
It goes on. Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here. You're in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been fixed so that those that want to go from here to there cannot. You cannot cross over from there to us. So Abraham tried to talk to the rich man about the beggar and about this great chasm. And we find here that he completely ignored Abraham on both counts.
Yeah.
He just interrupted and said, well,
listening.
I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my... Now he's telling him to send Lazarus. He wouldn't talk to him. Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Again, the rich man is talking directly to Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house. The rich man is not hearing Abraham.
No. That's true.
That's how the worldly rich act. And finally, it says, No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Now he's arguing with him.
Mm-hmm.
He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they'll not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. So as I said, he's arguing with Abraham. He says, No, Father Abraham. So the wealthy, the worldly wealthy... And
natural
if I may
wealthy.
Say it, some of the believers who are wealthy have a tendency to not listen, be prideful, and act arrogantly towards others. Now, I want to say something here about Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You have come a long way since
Tulsa.
Well,
that's the truth.
And the Lord has blessed you.
We had a long way to go.
And blessed this ministry. But I must say that you and Kenneth set a standard and an example for us. Because especially those of us that travel with you or travel with him, if we're on the citation tent somewhere and we get off the plane and we go into the FBO, you all are gracious.
Praise God.
Gracious. Kind. Don't ignore people. Don't look down on people.
No.
And you think to yourself, well, they're preachers. They shouldn't be that way. Well, there are preachers that are that way, some. But I've watched you and studied you, and there is no arrogance in you. There is no haughtiness about you. Even with, and what the world might call fame, being on television, I mean, you've come a long way from Tulsa to now worldwide television and preaching the gospel all over the world. But the two of you, where their attitude is concerned, they've not changed at all. If anything, they have become more loving and more compassionate. That's what
Praise
I observe.
God.
As a son-in-law, this is what I observe as of my mother and father-in-law, that they act in humility. Brother Copeland is always reaching into his pocket. He's always pulling out some money. He's always giving something to someone. He's always blessing somebody. And always praying for someone. We'll be at one of these places where we land the plane and we go inside, and there you are praying for somebody. Oh, Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland, we watch you on television. Well, that's the way we should be. That's the way we should act. And that's what Paul was telling them.
Not be high-minded.
Stop being high-minded. Stop being arrogant. And if we can go to the third page, I think they've given me, how much time do I have now, Tim? 2 minutes. Okay.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Gloria, let's do a lightning round here together.
Go.
I'll read the first scripture, you read the second one. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 73, 6 through 9 in the New Living Testament. This is humility versus pride. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace. Now, this is Psalm 73, the prosperity of the wicked. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty.
That means no mercy.
No mercy. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. That's the ungodly.
Proverbs 18:23 in the Message, the poor speak in soft supplications. The rich bark out answers. Do this, do that.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
The poor plead for mercy. The rich answer with insults. That's the New Living. NIV, a poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly.
In Proverbs 28:11 in the Message, the rich think they know it all, but the poor can see right through them.
Hosea 13:6 in New Living, but when you had eaten and were satisfied, you became proud and forgot me. That's God talking to his people. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to do that.
We're not going to forget God.
Ezekiel 28:4-5 in the New Living, with your wisdom and understanding, you have amassed great wealth, gold, silver for your treasuries. Yes, your wisdom has made you very rich. Your riches have now made you very proud.
Mm-mm.
So when you prosper, you have to be careful not to let pride come in. Like I'm somebody, you know.
You just said it right there.
Glory to God.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
That's it. Revelation 3:17, Message. You brag, I'm rich. I've got it made. I need nothing from anyone. Oblivious that, in fact, you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare, and homeless.
We're out of time, George.
We are out of time. Okay.
Everybody could look up Jeremiah 9:23-24 in the New Living.
And then let me just give you this one, then we'll finish up. Proverbs 22:4 in the New Living. True humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long
Glory
life.
To God. We humble our, what do? We humble ourselves.
Humble ourselves.
Under the mighty hand
yes,
of God.
Yes, ma'am.
He may exalt us in due time. In other words, we do what he says.
Yes.
Whether we want to, whether we don't
That's
want to.
Right.
Whether it's easy or hard, we obey God. And we're blessed, and you're blessed.
Amen.
Because you do the same. George and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.